It's a tragic story repeated so often in history that a prophet, and in this case, not only a prophet, but the Son of God himself, should go among his own and his own not receive him. Going into his own town, going into his own synagogue, Jesus was going into a den of wolves who sought to destroy him. He went into the synagogue where the word of God was read and interpreted, where the prophecies concerning his own coming were read week after week, and the people who heard them were ostensibly being prepared to receive Jesus into their synagogue so that when he would arrive, they would recognize him as the one God had sent. And yet, that was very much not what happened. And our Lord had to point out the irony and the tragedy of the fact that in the Old Testament, at times, prophets were more effective against those who were not part of the household than they were with the members of the whole household. And so what our Lord says is really true, that a prophet is accepted nowhere or less, is never accepted in his own country. And we see that lived out over and over again among our own people and sometimes in our own families, that it's very difficult to speak the word of God because people know our faults. They know our imperfections. It's a bit different situation than it is with our Lord. Whatever people may have presumed about our Lord that was anything less than perfect, of course, was not true, but those who are of our own household know us very well and know that we don't always live up to the ideals of our profession, whether it be our profession of faith or our religious profession in our Franciscan way of life. But there's something else going on here, and that is that our Lord had a right to expect more from his people. He had a right to expect that those who had the benefit of divine revelation, had the benefit of the prophets, the benefit of the special dispensation of divine providence for the people of Israel, that they would have reacted more generously and more lovingly, more repentantly. Some did, some didn't. And this is not to point out any defect on the part of the people of God of the Old Testament. It's simply to point out that human nature is just that way. We think we know what's going on very often within our own household and in our own selfishness and pride, we reject the one that is sent to us to bring the truth and healing. And so the lesson for us, I think, to learn is that for those of us who have been given the benefit of the fullness of the truth in the Roman Catholic faith, that have been given the benefit of the seven sacraments, the fullness of all the sacraments, we believe and know the truth of the Eucharist, for example. We are given the great privilege and opportunity to receive Jesus from the sacred altar, that our Lord has a right to expect far more from us than we tend to deliver. And we should hold ourselves to a much higher standard, recognizing the way in which our Lord has graced us. And so our Lord doesn't only come as a prophet to those who are living in darkness. he sometimes has to come as a prophet to those who are living in the light. And that was the whole reason of the prophetic graces of the Old Testament, for example. There was the law and the prophets, which were considered more or less separate institutions within the structure of the Jewish religion. The law represented God's revelation, his truth to his people. And the prophets were sent because the people weren't observing the law. They knew they had the light, and they had what it was that they needed to be converted and to live according to God's wisdom and his commandments, but they didn't. And so God sent the prophets to them to let them become aware and to let them know the consequences of their sinfulness. And the church remains prophetic in the preaching of the gospel and in the ministry, for example, of the Holy Father, who continues to call us all to repentance. And if there are scandals in the world, if there are scandals in the church, it is because the people of God, the new people of God, have not accepted into their household the message of the prophet, who is Jesus Christ, and his church, the Holy Father, that calls us all to repentance. St. John Eudes, for example, says that wicked pastors who are more sheep than wolves are a scourge upon the church. But he says it's a sure and certain sign that God is angry with his people when he sends us wicked pastors. So we all have to do an examination of conscience and make sure that we're living the way that the Lord wants us to live, that we are turning away from our own sinfulness. It's our very, very bad habit as people of religion to be looking over our shoulder or looking down our nose at everyone else and what they're doing, when the real problem in the church, as it always has been, is ourselves. If we recognize the graces that we had received, as we should have, we would be holier people than we are. Even St. Francis, one of the greatest saints that ever lived, said that if others had been given the graces that I had been given, they would be better people than I am. And that is the source. That is really what is needed in the world today, are saints. If we were saints, then those who are living outside of the fold, the Namaans and the widows of Sidon, would be converted. So we call ourselves in the name of Christ to repentance, renewed repentance during this Lent. We're getting closer to the halfway mark of Lent, and we need to think about the time that we have spent in this first part and how generous we have been with our penance, with our prayerfulness, with our almsgiving, with our commitment to changing our lives. Today is a new day, and we are called to wash 7 times in the 7 sacraments that all point to the grace that we first received at baptism. We not all receive the 7 sacraments, but the typology of the Old Testament points to the sacramental system. We need to renew our commitment to be clean, to be reborn, to live the rebirth that we have received at baptism, and to perfect it in the power and the healing of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior, and who wants to make us clean, and who calls us to be instruments of transformation in the world in which we live. May we receive unto ourselves this grace. May our Lord not have to turn away because he has not been received by his own. May our Lord and Savior be our mercy, our forgiveness, and our salvation.